بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاك الله خير ما شاء الله سبحان الله. So we continue, inshallah, with the comments on the opening address of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he says, to start off, which we mentioned, أيها الناس قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم. O people, I've been given authority over you, while I am not the best of you. So we were commenting on the indications in terms of the humility of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his and the station of humility for all of us in terms of our deen, our way of living and being. So we mentioned a few things before continuing. We said each week, and this class will be a little short. We're just going to Isha. We had iftar, and may Allah bless everyone who cooked, and may Allah bless everyone for all these wonderful dishes and the tea and the setting. So in any case, we want to start. We mentioned each week something about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but here briefly, we want to just mention the Quranic affirmation of the virtue of Abu Bakr. So some people, they denigrate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, some Muslims unfortunately, and they should realize that when they do that, they're opposing the hukum, the ruling of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala, and this is something that Imam Ash-Shinqiti mentions in his tafsir, Adwa' al-Bayan. Tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. So it says, Allah mentions in the Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Guide us to the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ The path of those you have bestowed your blessings on. So, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ So, what is that path? So Allah, elsewhere in the Qur'an, He explains what that path is. So he says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْعَمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا So he says in the Fatiha, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ The path of those you have bestowed your graces, your favors upon. And then he mentions those who obey, whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ يُرْتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ Then they will be amongst those I have bestowed my blessings on. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ And who are those that he bestowed his blessings on? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ The prophets. وَالصِّدِّقِينَ And those who truthfully affirmed the truth of the prophets. And their leader is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا And what an excellent host to be in. So this is considered by the ulama to be a... And this is something Fakhruddin al-Razi also mentions in his tafsir. Imam al-Shinqiti being a more recent 20th century latter-day scholar. But Imam Razi and others mentioned this. So this is a Quranic testification to the virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So we should encourage people to be very careful when they begin to not fully extend the respect that is owed to our predecessors. So in any case, we mentioned and stopped last week, we mentioned two out of three of these degrees or ranks, darajat wa tawada, the degrees of humility. So the first one that we mentioned, just want to mention all three very quickly, was referred to as tawadu lid-deen. So humbling oneself for the sake of the religion. In other words, not opposing revelation with our intellect. And we mentioned our intellect is temporal, while revelation is timeless. The intellect is limited to our human faculties of perception and understanding. Revelation is rooted in the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not oppose that which is timeless and that which emanates from an eternal source of wisdom with that which is temporal and limited. We should not assume that our knowledge which is acquired. So we acquire knowledge. And if no one teaches one of these little babies that might be here, if no one teaches that baby, if no one exposes that baby, like, baby, they say, wah, what's up? Let me teach you something, baby. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V. Baby, you got that? Wah. I'm going to teach you something else. Alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, ka, da. What if no one taught? The baby wouldn't learn anything. The baby wouldn't learn anything. Why? All of the knowledge is acquired. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is inherent. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is inherent. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is essential. It's not acquired. So we shouldn't give preference to that which is acquired, limited, temporal, to that which is eternal, and timeless and essential. So we should be very careful in that regard. The second is to be pleased with that which Allah is pleased with. So, at-tawada lil-haq, to be pleased with, and haq here referring to Allah Ta'ala. Pleased with Allah and pleased with what Allah is pleased with. And in that case, Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah, we try to seek the pleasure of Allah before we seek the pleasure of our nafs. So, raditu billahi rabban, I'm pleased with Allah as my Lord. Wa ridwanullah huwa akbar, the pleasure of Allah is greater. So we give preference and priority to pleasing Allah before we endeavor to please ourselves. And we give, just as we give preference to pleasing others in that which is true before we endeavor to please ourselves. And we'll get our rights, because if we have a society where everyone's doing that, then we'll get what's due to us. So if it were the case, everyone, or otherwise we get into a situation that we're entering into now, where everyone wants to take, no one wants to give. And so we wonder why we can't sustain relationships, we can't sustain marriages, we can't sustain friendships, because everyone wants to take, the wife wants to take, what can I, it's a utilitarian function, like, what can I get from this man? What can I get from this woman? And so when we're working with a utilitarian calculus, so we're trying to maximize our benefit, what happens? When we see something that's more beneficial, that's it. I can get more from this guy than my husband who's a bum, so let me get rid of the bum. You know, this woman is more beautiful than my wife. So I can get more ego self-gratiation if she's swinging on my arm when I walk into the party at work. So let me get rid of my wife. She's had a few kids. She's used up anyway. It's utilitarian. What can I get from anybody? And once I've used it up, it's like a throwaway society. You use up the cup, crush it up, and throw it away. You use up the diapers. We used to wash the diapers and use them over and over and over. Now just fold it up, throw it in the garbage. Throw it away. Chuck it away. Use up the clothes. We used to put patches on our clothes. Remember that? Now just it gets a hole, throw it away. You use up your wife, throw her away. Use up your husband, throw him away. So it's a disposable. So why? Because I'm trying to please myself first and foremost. And this is what Abu Bakr is telling us. He's saying, I'm trying to seek the pleasure of Allah through my service to the Ummah, to my community. And to do that, I have to humble myself. And so that tawadu' lil-haq, I have to humble myself. And this is a challenge for us. We have to humble ourselves and trust that Allah will elevate us. Because if you're trying to elevate yourself, this is how you get. If you can even pick yourself up. Some of you like this. That's how high. If Allah Ta'ala elevates us, not even the sky is the limit. They say the sky is the limit. Not even the sky is the limit. Is the limit. How high Allah can elevate us. And so this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's coming in. He's saying, what I can do is limited. So and it's not about me and it's not from me. قَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I've been placed over you. I didn't put myself over you. There's no special virtue I see. وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. While I'm not the best of you. So he humbles himself and Allah elevates him. رَضِيَ. And then the third is to humble one's opinion and one's habit for the sake of service. And tenzila an ra'yika wa awa'idika lil khidma or fil khidma, that you go down and move away from your opinion, which is beautiful. So humility isn't just not claiming oneself or humbly being very humble. It's also having the ability to lower one's opinion, which is very difficult. Because people love their ideas, they love their opinion, and so they become very defensive. Say, no, we're not going to do it like that. You know, we appreciate your effort, but we're going to go with the other suggestion. We feel all defeated. No. One humbles one's opinions. Then what does it do? It diffuses a lot of the tension that manifests itself in arguments and disputations. And to take the truth from any source, even from one's enemy. This is something I think we mentioned. Imam Shafi would say that he would, when he's in a discussion with someone, he would love to see the truth manifested on their tongue. He's emphasizing to himself, it's not about me, it's not about my opinion, it's about the truth. It's about the truth. It's not about me, it's not about my opinion, it's about the truth. So he comes in on this foundation of humility. This is his starting point, radiallahu anhu. And then he says, As-sidqu fa'in ahsantu fa'inuni. If I do good, then help me to do better. Fa'in ahsantu fa'inuni. If I do good, help me to do better. Which is, again, the nothing ever has been accomplished of any import without a team. There has to be cooperation. So Abu Bakr is telling the people, cooperate me to do better. If I do good, help me to do better. But I need your help to do better. I might be so great, he's not saying this, that I can do a good job, but I don't want to do a good job for Allah. I want to do a great job. So, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ, if I do good, فَأَعِنُونِي, help me to do better. Because we want greatness. We don't want good, we want greatness. We should want a great masjid. We should want great families. We should want great institutions. But the only way we'll do it is with teamwork. Greatness emanates from our ability to work together. Because as they say, together we create synergy. What's synergy, Muhammad? No answer. Anybody, what's synergy?
Harmony. Two things working together.
And there's more to it. That's what he said. There's more to it.
Two things working together.
When two things work together, they make maybe even bigger.
Right. And so it's not necessarily two, but more than one entity whose collective effort is greater than the individual sums. So we have five here and five here. When we bring it together, it has the strength of 15. So synergy is when various entities, it could be two, as everyone mentioned, it could be three, five, 10, come together and they complement each other in such a way that the collective sum, that the energy they create is greater than the sum of the individual units. So 5 plus 5 makes 15, not 10. Because it's so, for example, this finger could have so much strength, and if I hit it so hard, I'll break it. And so maybe it can withstand X pounds of pressure. So each finger can stand 20 pounds of pressure. All right, so we have the five fingers, that's 100 pounds of pressure. But when I bring them together, they can stand 300 pounds of pressure. So it's not like bing, 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 but it's... Yeah, clap, clap, clap. Careful, young lady. That's synergy. So... And the synergy comes, in our case, when we come together as believers, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, cooperate in goodness and righteousness, that five from the 5 plus 5 equals 15, 5 comes from us and the other 5 comes from us, the other 5 comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other 5 comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's called tawfiq. Allah facilitates us doing things. An example of that is من عمل إم لدني من عمل بما علم ورثه الله علم ما لم يعلم. Whoever acts on what they know. So we know so much, and we act on that. Allah will bequeath unto him or unto her knowledge that they don't know. And so that knowledge is beyond our conceptual potential. It's beyond our intellectual potential. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes it's translated direct knowledge. Im ladunni min ladayillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that comes directly without the intermediaryship of any teacher, or any books, or any tangible source. And so this is what Abu Bakr is trying to create. He's trying to create synergy in the community. He's trying to get people to work together so that our potential transcends our individual potentialities, because there's a divine element. And we should never forget that. We don't become a materialist. The materialist says, you're just this. That's all you are. your atoms, your molecules. The materialist doesn't look at those non-physical aspects of the human being. The spirit that animates us. The ability to know our Lord. The potential of our hearts. And the ability of our heart to allow us at a spiritual level to connect to realities that transcend this. And that's the ability. People who understand the true nature of humanity and human beings, that's an ability that they possess. So anyway, so he says, if I do good, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِنُونِ, then help me. Help me, number one, to maintain that good. Because we can't take for granted that everything's going to stay good when it's good. We have to work to maintain and perpetuate the good. So the marriage is going fine because the wife is going the extra mile. The husband is going the extra mile. The children are exceptionally patient and tolerant with their parents' shortcomings, or vice versa. The parents are exceptionally patient with the shortcomings of their children. But sooner or later, everyone's going to have to pitch in because that only lasts so long. So the wife's burned out. The husband's burned out. The children are frustrated and burned out. So we had at a certain point, everyone has to come together to work so that we can move forward. And this is the nature of our ummah. Think of some of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran. So إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ. So Allah loves those who struggle in His path, literally fight. And the primary fight is against shaitan. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. So the primary fight that we're engaged in is not, it's a fight against satanic ideas that are being normalized. It's a fight against satanic influences in our societies. It's a fight against shaitan and his dupes. And Allah says, فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And we should never forget this, because Allah Ta'ala tells us about shaitan. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. He's an enemy unto you. Treat him like an enemy. And so we just, you know, we're in a war zone. Again, a war of ideas. A war of energy. Negative energy versus positive energy. And we're just skipping down the road like, and then the next thing you know, bam, we get waylaid and we wonder what happened. What happened, you know, what happened to my deen? You know, I'm not praying anymore. I'm not identifying as a Muslim anymore. What happened? We got waylaid by shaitan. And why did we get waylaid by shaitan? Because we didn't treat him like an enemy. We treated him like a friend. You know, shaitan, yeah, shaitan. My buddy. Shaitan's not your buddy. So, and the next thing you know, what are some things shaitan loves to do? فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقَانَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. Break relationships. And where did they learn how to do that? The shaitan. Or who learned? The shaitan. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَنْهُمْ الشَّيَاطِينَ مِنْهُمَا, from these two angels, هَارُوتَ and مَارُوتَ, مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. So shaitan said, I will create false hopes in them. I'll create in them desires for things they don't need. So this whole consumerist reality we're caught up in is from Shaitan. He said, I will create in them desires for things they don't need. There's a deceased but popular American folk singer, blues jazz folk singer, back in the day. Gil Scott Heron. He wrote a song. He said, you can take part in the all-American dream. Just fill your house up with a million products you don't need. You don't even have to use them. Buying is all they ask of you. And if it's so doggone incredible that you don't believe it's true, it's Madison Avenue. They sell sand to a man in the desert. What does a man in the desert need with sand? They sell sand to a man in a desert. So Shaitan says he'll create false desires. And then what do those false desires become? The foundations of all this tension we have. We have to keep up with the Joneses. Some of you know about that. Keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. That was the temptations, not Gil Scott Heron. Keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Bill collectors, tranquilizers, they're going to put you deeper in debt. You better leave the Joneses alone. So us is keeping up with the Ahmeds. The Ahmeds got a new car. When are we getting a new car? They moved into the new subdivision. When are we going to move out of this house? We got to keep up with the Ahmeds. No. And then he said, you better leave the Joneses alone. So leave the Ahmeds alone. Because why? Shaitan is pushing everybody. So in any case, so Abu Bakr is telling the people, help me to do better. Let's create a team. Let's get some synergy going. Let's make this thing so great that the energy it creates is going to touch the hearts of people in Pleasanton, California, 1,500 years from now. That's what they did. All right, it's time's up. So, we have to pray. Sorry. Let's continue next week. Allah barik fikum. Allah taqabbal minkum. Wazadakum Allahu fi kulli khair. في هذه الحياة وبعد الممات ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ولكم أن يتقبل صيامنا وقيامنا وصلاتنا وزكاتنا وكل ما نحن نقدم إليه في هذه الأيام المباركة وفي هذه الساعات المباركة ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يفتح علينا فتحا مبينا ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا جميعا إلى ما هو يحب ويرضاه اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ببركة القرآن العظيم اللهم تقبل منا زدنا ولا تنقصنا أنت مولانا يا الله يا الله يا الله تقبل منا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.